Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is Judge Judy's favorite segment on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just be careful when you call a national radio network. You consent to allowing us to replay whatever it is that you might say. Witty, cunning, odd, weird, unique, or just flat out crazy. It may reappear yet again on our show at a later date. It's a Facepalm Friday, and there were a bunch of teams that did a couple of face plants. Arizona being tops on the list. It's kind of funny because we have a poll still ongoing on our show Twitter, and then I just retweeted a little while ago. We'd asked you which of these things is most annoying to hear from a stranger, and we're kind of talking about when you tune into the show and people are sharing about their brackets or their favorite teams, haters, and how everybody's against them. I think my favorite is when people point to the broadcasters, how the broadcasters hate us, or your fantasy sports lineups. And right now that poll is still ongoing. So even now, as people fill up my timeline with lamentations about Arizona's loss to Buffalo, well, March Madness brackets, they're all the rage. Is it annoy you the most when you hear about someone's March Madness bracket, or do you like it because it's commiserating? It's like misery loves company. And so if your bracket is full of red marks and their bracket's full of red marks, well, maybe you don't feel quite so bad because you know you're not alone on your miserable island. So take that Twitter poll, and we want to know, what was your favorite moment? Probably not Arizona losing, getting pounded, actually, if that's a team that you had in the championship. But there had to be some moments that you liked from Thursday in March Madness. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We'll offer exhibit A, B, C, and D for Facepalm Friday as we head through the next several hours. But we're also going to talk about the introductions. Both Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith seem very happy, so we'll get to that with QB news straight ahead 15 minutes from now here on CBS Sports Radio. I wanted to point out some of the other observations that jumped off the page at me. I shouldn't say the page, really. It's more like the TV. They jumped out of the TV at me, and for quite a stretch in the evening on Thursday, I was listening to Westwood One's coverage on the radio because I was upstairs getting ready for work and doing some stuff that needed to be done. And so I only have one TV in my house. I may be the last person in the United States of America with only one TV in the house, but I only have one. And so I like to listen to the radio upstairs instead. And it's Westwood One does a great job. I heard Brad Heller, who's not with us these last few mornings because he's busy doing the whip arounds and the studio shows for the Westwood One college basketball coverage. So I was like, ah, Brad, which I'll have to tell him when we see him again on Monday. I'm sure he'll be thrilled and not grumpy. He actually wasn't gruff, maybe because it wasn't 5 o'clock in the morning when he had to show up to work. Anyway, so I enjoy the Westwood One coverage. So whether I was watching on TV or listening on the radio, a few things stood out to me. Texas Tech got a near flawless second half performance from Keenan Evans. The senior guard put the team on his back and said, I got you. I got you, babe. 23 points for him. He did not miss a shot in the second half. He also grabbed some key rebounds down the stretch. He had 5 assists. He was literally doing it all for the Red Raiders. And he went 10 for 10 from the charity stripe. What did we talk about last hour? How free throws can make or break you in the tournament. They can be killers when you miss them on the stage. Just ask Miami. So Keenan Evans, if you haven't seen the Red Raiders star guard, get to know him. Awesome performance for him. And you love that for a senior, too. A guy who's stayed around. He's gone all the way through his college career. He's not a guy who was recruited out of eighth grade, the next LeBron James, but also liked the college experience. And the Big 12 does offer a good experience. And so for Texas Tech, able to pull away in the end, I felt like that was another game that might have some popularity when it came to upset picks because it was a 5-12 game. No, wait a minute. Was it a 5-12 game? No, it wasn't San Diego State. I got my S wrong. This is what happens when I do this without looking at my bracket. Reset. Take two. Texas Tech was playing Stephen F. Austin. Houston was playing San Diego State. So two Texas schools. See, there you go. That's how I got them confused in my brain, my spaghetti plate brain. And so Texas Tech and Stephen F. Austin were engaged in quite a battle, but down about the second half of the second half, you had Keenan Evans just, I mean, he just took over the game. He was awesome. So that was one thing that stood out to me in the games that I was watching on Thursday. Also, Kentucky and Davidson, great game. This one I started watching at the gym, and it was you guys should have seen me at the gym. So I walk in, and some of the ellipticals are occupied. Some of the ellipticals have new TVs. Some of the ellipticals don't. Some of the ellipticals have the arms that you pump at the same time that you're pedaling, and so I like those. But most of those have old TVs. So there are like maybe four ellipticals among the group of probably seven or eight that were occupied. I literally tried every single one before realizing that all of the TVs had crappy service on CBS, the CBS channel. Don't get TNT or TBS. So I had to watch CBS, which was fine because it was a game I wanted to see in Kentucky and Davidson, and I was good with not moving around. The service was terrible. So I literally checked every single elliptical. And the way that the TVs work at the gym, you have to have your headphones plugged in before you can change the channel, because otherwise the power turns off if your headphones aren't plugged in. So I literally went from elliptical to elliptical to elliptical, plugged in my headphones, fiddled with the TV to see if it would work, and then moved on to the next one. I'm sure they thought it was nuts. So I was in the gym for a good 10 minutes before I ever got started on the elliptical. But I finally found one, and I was able to watch Kentucky and Davidson and listen to the audio. Fancy that. And Davidson was hitting big-time threes in the first half. Shocker, Steph Curry's alma mater. Do you know, by the way, that Steph Curry is the only NBA player ever to come out of Davidson? Meanwhile, Kentucky's got blue chippers and McDonald's All-Americans every single year that go on to the NBA, especially since John Calipari got there. And it was really this... to me, the analogy that popped into my brain was tortoise and the hare, because you've got a Davidson that is disciplined, fundamentally sound, well-coached, steady, and doesn't give up, right? All of those hallmarks of, in my opinion, of a well-coached, experienced team. Now, not necessarily on this stage, but a team that's prepared, you can tell. And even though there were times when Kentucky would jump out of the building, jump over the top of a Davidson player or two or three, you had these runs by Kentucky, and yet the Wildcats that were in red, Davidson would not back down. It would just keep coming. And so Steady Eddie, like the tortoise, but you also had the hare who can take a nap or can rest on the job. And I'm not saying Kentucky was resting, only that Kentucky is so explosive, athletic. They have length and reach for days. It reminded me of Go-Go Gadget arms, or just like Mr. Stretch. You're like, stretch your arms out across the entire court. They're unbelievable. Physical specimens. And you can't teach that. You can't teach the speed or the explosiveness. But you have this weird dichotomy because Kentucky has all this talent, but a lot of it's raw. Whereas it's much more polished with Davidson. Also, you had the really weird stat that kind of played itself out over the course of the game and was, you know, talked about a few times. Kentucky had not played a basketball game without hitting a three since 1988. But those Wildcats went 0 for 6 from downtown. It was a very similar game plan every time they had the ball on offense. Drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick. They were trying to pound the ball inside. They were trying to use their athleticism and their height advantage and their leaping ability, draw the defense, make Davidson collapse on you in the paint, and then kick it out, either for someone else to drive, so a second wave, or to take a shot. But nothing fell from beyond the arc. Meanwhile, Davidson's lighting it up in the first half from three-point land. And so Davidson had a lot of energy. They kept coming. It was impressive to watch until they got tired. And then those Wildcats couldn't get a rebound, and those Wildcats couldn't make a shot late. And that's kind of the problem with facing off against a team that has as much raw talent as a Kentucky, is that they can and will eventually run you out of the building. They're thoroughbreds. So the Tortoise may like to lay down on the job and take it easy. Again, I'm not saying that Kentucky did that, only that there were stretches where they were sloppy, they couldn't make shots, they looked unorganized, like 18 and 19-year-olds will. But in the end, the pure power, the pure athletic ability is what propelled them to the next round. And in the final, I would say 4 or 5 minutes, every single rebound, it felt like, was controlled by Kentucky. I want to say the Wildcats, but I can't because they're both Wildcats. Yeah, just unbelievable how dominant Kentucky was on the boards. But that's where the athleticism comes in. And that was really a huge advantage in the late stages of this game against Davidson.
They're all freshmen, and they're learning. And we're even learning from game to game now. Every one of these experiences is new. What happened is, again, Kevin made some shots. Sasha's playing better and better. And he made shots, and Shea controlled the game at the end to take us over the finish line, barely.
I mean, I know. John Calipari's goofy, and Gary even alluded to it last hour that, you know, he's got the woe is me and the tournament committee. They put us in a tough bracket. But things change literally by the minute, these busy days of the NCAA tournament, and Kentucky and John Calipari with its hands full just getting by Davidson. It was a really entertaining game, and two contrasting styles, both on the court as well as on the sidelines. So yeah, I really enjoyed that game and the back and forth, the tortoise and the hare. That was my hashtag for Kentucky and Davidson. So coming up, we're going to shift gears a little bit and get into some QB news, because both Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins introduced in their new cities on Thursday. And then we'll get back to some more March Madness. Gonzaga. I was so excited when I saw our guest from last week. He's a redshirt junior, but he's a fourth-year player. Starter Josh Perkins hit a massive shot late in the game. That was a lot of fun, too. So I was cheering just because he'd been on the show. But the game was too tight, so I couldn't get all gloaty on Twitter. Anyway, you can find me on social media, either After Hours with Amy Lawrence, that's Facebook, or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I love that you're still taking our most annoying poll. And I want to know, what was your favorite moment of the moment that just, smacked you upside the head? Facepalm Friday, that's what we're in right now. If it did that to you on the college basketball scene, well, then I'd love to hear from you. Either way, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We hit the pause button on March Madness. We will get back to it on this Facepalm Friday. Hello, it's Friday. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pair of starting quarterbacks who've changed teams were introduced on Thursday in their new homes, and there were just beaming smiles everywhere for both Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith, for their wives and their families, as well as for the men who brought them on board in their new cities, Minneapolis and Washington, D.C., respectively. Who knows how this plays out, but I think it's fascinating the number of QBs who've changed teams and the way they've crisscrossed the country. Kirk Cousins didn't end up taking any other visits. It was Minneapolis or bust, as it turned out. Why? Well, 3 years, $84 million, completely guaranteed would be the easy answer. But Kirk Cousins says, actually, I told you how I would make my decision long before I ever agreed to a new contract with Minnesota.
Winning is what I said it would be all about, and it's true. I came here because of the chance to win. I felt like it was probably the best chance, and that's all that matters in this business. But more importantly than that, the chance to win comes from the fact that I believe in the leadership of this organization. I can't win the Super Bowl today, okay? I can do a press conference to talk about a contract and then go from there. So what I'm looking forward to is getting to know teammates over the next few weeks, reaching out to them, building relationships, hopefully being able to spend some time with them and then get to work April 16th with the organization. That's where my focus lies. And from there, we'll build and hopefully be able to have those conversations down the road.
You hear a little Cooper, baby Cooper in the background there. And I don't know if you all saw the picture. I happen to follow Kirk Cousins on Twitter, and he tweeted a photo of, I think it had to be his parents and his wife and baby Cooper and him standing at the center of the field. So standing there in their new home where they will play football, which, as you know, is the home of Super Bowl 52, US Bank Stadium. Gorgeous facility. It's really neat to see him smiling, to see him happy, and his family too. And he used a Bible verse, and he talked about how this is more than he could ever ask or think, using that verse. And after what he's gone through the last couple of years, the uncertainty. I know he got paid a lot of money, but what do I tell you? Money doesn't fix everything. It only fixes your money problems. He didn't have a long-term deal. It was a back-and-forth situation. It wasn't a stable situation, certainly not a ton of job security either. And there are a lot of guys in the NFL that operate without it. But to get an $84 million, three-year, fully guaranteed contract, that's one heck of a step up the corporate ladder. And he said it was a lifetime contract. I mean, that's how he described it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings. Why Kirk Cousins?
It's a combination of everything. When you sit there and evaluate him on tape, and we looked at it so many different ways, but his ability, the biggest thing that stuck out the most is how quickly he processes things. And when you see him look to the left and see his first option, and then all of a sudden to the right, he's already to this third option, where other quarterbacks, if their first option ain't there, maybe they can get to their second option. But the way his mind processes and how quickly he's able to read and react to things on what he sees, I think makes him unique.
So Rick Spielman, Ziggy Wolf, the Minnesota Vikings, they've got a brand new quarterback. You know, this same team went to the NFC Championship just a few months ago. In your opinion, football fans, does Kirk Cousins put the Vikings over the edge? How much closer are the Vikings now than they were to winning a Super Bowl? Because again, they were a game away from getting to Super Bowl 52. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Alex Smith knew that his days with the Kansas City Chiefs were numbered. He had talked about it going back to the beginning of last year when the Chiefs traded up to get his replacement, Patrick Mahomes. He knew the team would be looking to trade him before the new year started, and he ends up in D.C. But according to Doug Williams from the Redskins front office, of course, a former Super Bowl winning quarterback in D.C., this wasn't as cut and dried as you might think. This actually had a lot more to do with Alex than it did to do with the Redskins' choice of a quarterback.
We finally got together, and we came up with Alex Smith. But we had to find a way to get it done. And it wasn't easy because there was a few teams in it that wanted Alex Smith. He chose us. And he chose us for a reason. It's because of who we are, the legacy of the Washington Redskins, the history of the Washington Redskins. Jay, he know what Jay offense is all about. He knew the guys that we had to throw to, especially adding Paul to this offense, give him something to work with. He knew about the offensive line, even though we banged up a little bit, but they'll be ready to go when the season starts. If you're a quarterback, you look at those things, offensive lines and the weapons that he has to work with.
So Doug Williams says Alex Smith has done his homework and that he did not take this decision lightly. He wasn't just looking for a reason to get out of Kansas City, though he knew his days were numbered there. He wanted a spot that would be the right fit. Not to mention, he held the cards because he had to sign a contract extension, more than likely, for this trade to go through. So he, in a very prominent way, influenced what Kansas City would do with this bargaining chip, with this starting quarterback, Alex Smith. So you hear what Doug Williams had to say. What about Alex himself? Why did he think DC was the right place for him?
Very clear immediately the desire to win from top to bottom. The competitiveness top to bottom. The stakes, the urgency. I mean, I think those are all important things that need to start at the top. And I think that trickle down into that locker room where, you know, sets the tone. I mean, I think you have to have that sense of urgency every day when you go about your business.
So Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, two veteran starting quarterbacks who were the subject of a lot of conversation. I mean, over the course of the last NFL season, forget just these last couple of weeks. And remember, it was the bombshell on Tuesday of Super Bowl week when Smith did get traded, or we found out that Smith would be traded and would sign a contract extension once he was allowed to with the Washington Redskins. Meanwhile, Kirk gets his guaranteed money. So there are really neat storylines, a couple of twists there, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously going to be major narratives going into training camp once we get back to the fall. Fall is a long time. It's a long time away. I don't want to rush through spring or summer because the warm weather is necessary. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm serious. I'd love to hear from you, whether you're Vikings fans or Redskins fans. How much closer do you feel like this quarterback swap made you? Especially when you consider the Vikings didn't have that much farther to rise. Does Kirk Cousins put them over the top? So A-Law Radio or our phone number, 855-212-4227. There was some other football news on Thursday. It kind of took a backseat. It shared the center ring of the circus with March Madness. It certainly made plenty of headlines on Thursday. It just wasn't the only headline when you looked up at the TV or listened to sports radio. So we'll get to that. Plus, your Facepalm Friday moment, the first exhibit to offer to you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. But first, in the spirit of March Madness, a perfect candidate for Facepalm Friday.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Oh, me? Wait, I thought there was more.
Freaky, frivolous, or flat-out flubbed.
Most valuable player means the player most valuable.
A look back on the frankly foolish feedback of the week. It's time for Facepalm Friday.
I thought this tweet from Alan earlier in the week was probably indicative of the way many college basketball fans thought, specifically fans of, say, Oklahoma State, USC, and, yes, Notre Dame. Alan sent me a tweet, and I quote, "So, if Notre Dame runs through the NIT with hardly any competition, how bad will it look for the bracket committee?" Hashtag Facepalm Friday. Alan, I'm sure you know this by now. Maybe someone else has pointed it out to you, but the NIT field and the NCAA field are not the same. the NCAA features the best teams in college basketball, whereas the NIT features the next level, the next tier of teams that weren't quite good enough to make the tournament. So if Notre Dame runs through the NIT as one of the top seeds in the NIT, it actually wouldn't be that surprising. Might be more of a validation of what the selection committee did. Also, I love that he calls it the bracket committee. It's not the college basketball selection committee. It's the bracket committee. Like the committee only exists to put together the teams for your bracket, Alan. Yeah, so there are probably people out there that believe that if one of these teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament wins the NIT, then, well, they should have been in the tournament. But come on, think about it for a second. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're suggesting. Again, hashtag Facepalm Friday to find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and we're going to get our music together next time. The band was just a little bit confused. Let's go to our phones here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Rashad is listening in Atlanta. Rashad, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good.
First off, I just want to say I'm a rookie to your show, but I heard it for the first time a couple of months ago, and I just fell in love with it. And this is all I listen to every morning. So I want to say that first.
I appreciate that.
Also, I want to say I am so hurt about this loss with University of Miami. I listen to everybody's bracket, and it's like nobody gives me a chance. Never gives me a chance. And I thought this year I was going to just – hear your show today and just hear the bandwagons come from Miami. But it's like every year they disappoint me. We go in, we do good with free throws. Then we get to the ballpoint and we just, I don't know. I'm just hurt. I can't sleep. I don't know what else team bandwagon to get on. I'm just hurt this morning.
Well, it's not really about a bandwagon. I mean, I like that you have faith. Jim Larrañaga is a great coach. Miami's gotten a lot better since he got there. I mean, there's a lot to like. They, of course, were playing without their best player who they lost some time ago. But they also missed a bunch of free throws, which just drives a stake through your heart.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're up with 8 seconds to go, and you have what could be two free throws. So you're up by one with 8 seconds to go or 9 seconds to go. You're on the free throw line. Make your free throws. There's a reason it's called the charity stripe. They're supposed to be gimmies. You're supposed to recognize it, that in the most critical times of a basketball game, if it goes down to the wire, very often it's settled at the free throw line. So that's got to be so frustrating. Now, I mean, you got to give credit to the Ramblers for hitting, not only getting the rebound, and quickly getting an outlet and getting it up court and finding the open guy, but hitting the shot. I mean, you know, he could do that another five times and probably only hit it the one time. So give credit to Loyola Chicago. But, yeah, I mean, that hurts a lot. In fact, there was a guy standing behind Jim Larrañaga who did a Facepalm Friday. He just buried his hands in his palms like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, man, it hurts so bad right now to where – I'm just ready to listen to somebody fantasy football, and I hate that. I would rather listen to that right now. I mean, I don't even know. It hurts. And my girlfriend is like, it's not the end of the world. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like when you love a team so much we just get put out, I'm like, OMG.
Yeah, I gotcha. The agony of defeat. There's a reason why the word agony is accurate, for sure.
Yes, it is.
All right, Rashad. Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, again, it was an incredible basketball play and a sequence for the Ramblers. It's not like it was a fluke. I mean, they executed to perfection. So maybe you can appreciate that as a basketball fan.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. I know it doesn't make you feel any better, but thank you, Rashad, for listening in Atlanta. 855-212-4227. Jay is also in Atlanta. Jay, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good.
That's good. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Sweet.
I've been listening to you for a long time, and I thought, what would be a better time to call in than me picking Buffalo by mistake and waking up.
Wait, by mistake?
Yes, I'll admit that.
So what happened? You were filling out your bracket and you just hit the wrong button and didn't know you picked Buffalo?
I did ESPN and did the BPI. I started hitting all kind of auto picks because they don't let you save until you finish.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I actually, a friend of mine, we actually bought in on some brackets, a buck a piece, $100 a piece, five guys. And somebody told me right before the game, said, you went for Buffalo? And I looked, I was like, oh, I'm done. I was putting my $100 down on my PayPal as he was telling me that. And I went to sleep. I saw that, you know, they played a great game. I saw early in the game that they were, those are some hoopers.
It was tight, yeah.
I still went to sleep. I said, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting ready for work. I'm in the parking lot now. So I said, I can't watch this if I wanted to. So,
well, it was a 2-point game at halftime, and it was a really good game, back and forth. It was for the first half, but then in the second half, Buffalo really started to pull away, and Arizona just couldn't hit a shot. They looked all out of sorts, and it was like it kind of snowballed on them. So the worse they played, the worse they looked, and the more they were sweating it, and the worse it got. So it became just kind of a snowball effect. And meanwhile, Buffalo, just amazing the way that they were so poised. And I mean, just they almost looked like they were the more athletic team. They were the aggressor. You know, they were the team that was expected to win. So it was kind of fun. And unless, of course, you picked Arizona, which you didn't, Jay.
Exactly.
So you can be thrilled. It's a good Friday morning for you.
Yes, it is.
On accident. Yes. All right, sir. Thanks so much for calling for the first time.
Thank you, Amy. Have a good one.
Could you imagine? Too bad that it didn't happen to you. Too bad it didn't happen to Tom, that he accidentally picked Buffalo, though he intended to pick Arizona all the way to the championship.
Like I said, I checked to see if I didn't save it. Maybe it was an empty bracket. Save me the...
Gosh.
The pain? I don't know. It's the same difference, though.
Yeah, that does stink. I'm sorry. I mean, that's how it was for me 2 years ago when Michigan State lost in the... Was it Florida Gulf Coast?
Last year? Was it 2 years ago?
Well, was it 2 years ago that Michigan State lost to Florida Gulf Coast? Was that the 15-2 matchup 2 years ago? You can check for me. But I remember my pick was out in like the first 2 days or something. It was, it was bad. And the thing is, though, even if you lose your national championship pick... While your circumstances seem bleak initially, a lot of times if the rest of your bracket is okay, there's going to be attrition. And so you'll sink to the bottom right away, but then you can start to rise a little bit by picking up some points. Because every game you pick correctly is worth points. And the deeper we go in the tournament, the more those wins are worth, if that makes sense. So did you find it? No. Okay. We'll find it at the top of the hour. But I remember Michigan State was my downfall 2 years ago. All right.
Middle Tennessee. That's right.
Oh, Middle
Tennessee.
It was
2 years ago.
Got it. Okay. Sorry. Not Florida Gulf Coast.
90 points to MTSU in the first round.
It was insane. That was the end. That was the beginning of the end for me taking picks seriously.
And then they lost. Middle Tennessee lost the next game to Syracuse by 25 points.
Yeah. No, it was topsy-turvy, and I was done. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I promised you this. So really quickly, according to CBSSports.com, 92.8% of the brackets had Arizona over Buffalo. All right. So almost 93% of the brackets had the Bulls out losing to the Wildcats of Arizona in this first game. Moving on, 60.5% had Arizona advancing to the Sweet 16. All right. So the number dwindles a little bit, but 60.5% of the brackets. I wish I knew how many. Maybe you could Google that and see if there's a number somewhere. How many people filled out brackets? I'm sure it's in the millions on CBSSports.com. 60.5% had Arizona in the Sweet 16. 22.4% had Arizona in the Elite Eight. 18% of brackets on CBSSports.com put Arizona in the Final Four. 11% had the Arizona Wildcats in the national championship game. And here you go, Tom. This is the percentage of brackets that had Arizona winning it all. 4.2%.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Surprisingly low, but still one of the higher ones, I'm sure.
Yeah, 4.2% of the CBSSports.com brackets Hashtag Facepalm Friday. Thank you, Voice God. March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live or listen on Westwood One. It's a Facepalm Friday morning because your bracket stinks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.